When you drive a vehicle so reliable it's backed by a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty, you stop thinking about what you can't do and start doing what you never thought possible. Visit your local Kia dealer today to see what you're capable of in a vehicle that inspires confidence around every corner. Kia. Movement that inspires.
Call 800-333-4KIA for details. Always drive safely. Limited inventory available. Warranties include 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain and 5-year, 60,000-mile basic. Warranties are limited. See retailer for details.
Before Shopify, were you wondering, where are my sales at? Now you're selling with Shopify, the global commerce platform supercharging your selling. You have no problem selling online, in person, on social media, and beyond. Gary, easy on the cha-ching.
Oh, sorry, but my Shopify sales are through the roof.
Start selling with Shopify today and discover how millions of businesses around the world use Shopify to ignite their selling. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/listen. Shopify.com/listen.
You're listening to Paranormal Portal on Revolver Podcasts. Hey, everybody, and welcome to the Paranormal Portal Podcast. I'm your host, Brent Thomas. Hope you guys are doing great out there and having a wonderful day. Thank you to all of you whose amazing support has kept this podcast growing and growing. We certainly couldn't be where we are without you guys, and we are deeply indebted and thankful for your continued support. If any of you out there have stories that you'd like to share and you wouldn't mind being a guest on the show, please let me know. You can email me at paranormalportalradio@gmail.com. And I'll get together with you and we'll dial it in and have you as a guest on the show yourself to share whatever paranormal goodness you've been through. So don't forget to check out our YouTube page at youtube.com/paranormalportal and check out the live streams of the shows. The podcast and the live streams are two very different shows and very different variety of information and such. So we hope you'll give the YouTube channel a shot as well. And thank you so much for all of your continued efforts on our behalf, and we look forward to continuing to bring you the best podcasting we know how. So I hope you're ready, because we got a great show lined up for you guys tonight. So hang on, it's time to get creepy. Most, if not all of us, are familiar with David Politis' work on the missing 411 cases. And if you're not, essentially, there are just segments of people going absolutely missing, gone beyond a trace, no seemingly rhyme or reason to the disappearances in national parks and even in urban centers around the world, especially in North America and Canada. But the phenomena doesn't seem to be limited to our region either. It's kind of all over the place. And, of course, we've all seen the missing people posters that are around, and oftentimes it's nefarious or some kind of custody battle or whatever. But every once in a while, some people go missing in the national forests and in other areas that otherwise wouldn't seem to be the type to just disappear. Like, they don't seem like a vulnerable population, not like children or, in some cases, some more vulnerable parts of our population, but sometimes they're hunters and outdoorsmen and people that are, well-versed in the outdoors and getting out into the national forest and hunting and hiking and such, and they'll just suddenly be gone. And there's a whole lot of intrigue and mystery around what's going on in these cases. Oftentimes it's left for us to just sit back and just kind of speculate. What the hell happened? What's going on here? This is really strange. And if you dive into David Plaidy's work, you'll find that there's almost nearly a cover up involved in the National Forestry Services and releasing records of how many people are going missing every year in these forests, and the number is actually staggering. And of course, it's a completely sobering thought, and it kind of makes you go, man, something's not right here. But we don't know what's going on. In many cases, there's certain criteria, I know that a very strict criteria that David Politis follows in his work, in that, it has to meet a certain criteria before he'll dive into it and possibly add it to his body of work. And some of those things are, they like tracking dogs won't track, and around other people just suddenly missing, and there's a number of things, details that are pretty specific to his work. But there are certainly, this is not new news of people going missing, especially in the wild areas of the world, but this is a phenomenon that goes way back to ancient world. Discussions of pixies and the fae, drawing people, luring them into, into their realms and disappearing forever. And perhaps this is the same thing. And I'm not suggesting that all of these missing cases are some kind of fairies or pixies, but I'm saying the idea of people going missing is not new. It's been around forever. However, this is certainly a part of our common modern dialogue into the paranormal and weirdness of our world. But most often we just don't know what the hell's going on. These people are going missing. There's no rhyme or reason. There's no clues, really. There's not prints. There's not, trails that are followed by sniffing dogs. They're just gone. And we just wonder, well, what's going on? Well, I thought it'd be kind of a great idea to cover, an article today on the podcast that I think is very interesting, and it might dive into some of the weirdness that's out there, and maybe in some of these cases, a little glimpse into what's going on. The article in question is by a good friend of the show, Mr. Brent Swanser, and he writes paranormal and Fortean articles for mysteriousuniverse.org. Just a brilliant man, a great friend, and one of the most talented paranormal writers out there, in my opinion. I read his articles and learn something every time. And he also has a Facebook group if you want to catch up with Brent Swanser or his group of individuals out there on Facebook. You can do so by looking for Dark League Paranormal, and it's a great group. I'm involved out there too, and fantastic people, fantastic discussions, and fantastic information. And so I definitely want to promote all of that because, it's my great honor to be able to showcase his articles on our show from time to time. And this one is no different, but this one is from mysteriousuniverse.org, and it's dated May 8th of 2020. And the title of the article is "The Almost Vanished, Lured into the Woods by Strange Forces," Brent Swanser. So we're going to dive into this today and see what's going on and have some discussion about, could this possibly be some of the phenomena people are experiencing before they disappear? I don't know. It's anybody's guess, but you be the judge. Within the world of mysterious disappearances and vanishings, some of the most peculiar have happened in the wilderness areas of our world. Among the strangest of these are the cases compiled by researcher and author David Politis. In his Missing 411 series of books featuring all manner of bizarre clues and odd details that at times seem to point at something almost supernatural at work behind the scenes. Since most of the people who have gone missing have never returned alive, we are mostly left to speculate, but on certain occasions there are those accounts in which someone seems to have been on the brink of becoming one of these victims, yet somehow escaping the clutches of these forces to return and tell the tale. Here we'll look at a section of some accounts from these almost vanished, which seem to point at something rather insidious permeating the wild places out there to pull people and to never come back. Among these tales of the almost vanished, almost taken, whatever you want to call them, there are quite a few cases in which it seems that the very woods have called out to these people to draw them in, quite possibly with the intention of never returning them. There are numerous examples of this on the Missing 411 Reddit forums, and one of these comes from a poster called Magnific Cone, who says that this happened when he was a young Boy Scout camping in the rugged wilderness at a place called Mount Washington in the United States. At that time, he was part of a group of others, and they were in the process of hiking up one of the mountain's winding trails. When the two group members he was with decided to stop and take a break. However, he felt a strange, overwhelming urge to keep going, often accompanied by a sense of blurred or lost time. The witness in this case says, "Once my group and I got above the tree line and by several boulders, my two friends decided to slow down and drink water. I don't know why, but I was overcome by an urge that just pulled me to keep going. Eventually, I got lost. My perception of time had vanished, and it felt like a dream because I kept changing locations. But I couldn't remember walking there, and I never questioned it. And somehow I got to a cliff, and suddenly I was by a huge pile of rocks, and I began to feel sick and dizzy. I took off my gray and olive windbreaker to reveal my neon scout shirt, and folded my windbreaker onto a pillow and just laid down. Suddenly, a man dressed in black tights with a red cross, I think he worked there, I don't know, ran towards me and told me that I looked dehydrated and that there was a weather station I could eat at. Well, I put on my jacket after getting cold and headed up to the weather station. I met up with my troop there, and they were worried and informed me that I was missing for almost an hour. When we made it back down, I fell asleep in the car and was drained. So what was going on here? We also have the case of poster Cacophonica. I don't know. I'm sorry. Probably brutalizing that name, but it's the best I can do. Who says this happened when he was living at a rural railroad town in the southwest corner of Missouri in the U.S., which was surrounded by hills, woods, and ravines. One summer day, he went out for a walk in the woods near his home, along with his dog, a pit bull named Fatty. That's a great name. I love that. And as they made their way through a creek bed, the dog began whining and cowering for no discernible reason. Thinking that there was a wild animal out there, the witness stopped to listen, only to find the woods eerily devoid of any sounds at all. No wind or birds or anything at all. Which was very weird, because even on a calm day, the forest would usually be teeming with sounds and life. And he stood there for a few minutes in that spooky silence. The only sound was his whining dog, which was also odd in that the animal was usually fearless and afraid of nothing. And then he then felt a creeping sensation that gave him the distinct impression that he was being watched, an ominous feeling he couldn't shake. Yet, although every fiber of his being told him to get out of there, he instead felt a strange urge to keep going deeper into the trees. And he explains the series of bizarre events that would follow next. All signs pointed to leaving, right? But no. Another weird thing happened. Call it being an edgy teenager or anything else, but I felt this strange pull into the woods. There was no sound, but I felt like something was calling me, luring me deeper into the woods. It was the creepiest thing I'd ever felt in my life, but I was so curious. I wanted to know what the hell wanted me to wander further ahead. I walked forward, aware that my dog had firmly planted himself at the fallen trees. He was shaking all over and yelped at me as I walked away, but he didn't come with me. He also didn't leave, which I believe potentially saved my tail that day. I got to change some of the words, family-friendly show and all, but saved my tail that day. And I left Fatty behind and eventually got to the part of the creek that I'd never been to. It was a clearing with a ring of trees surrounding it, with the creek stretching far ahead and going around an unseen corner. Well, the sun hadn't moved and it was still silent. I stood in place for a minute and considered turning around. The clearing was creepy and just felt devoid of everything. I can't explain it well enough. I felt like if I walked around that corner, which was just about 100 feet away, that something terrible would happen. I felt like something was just waiting for me to walk into it, unsuspecting. Well, I brushed it off as paranoia. I had plenty of sunlight left, and I could explore alone for once. Besides, if something was drawing me further in, I might find something amazing. I took a couple more steps, and suddenly, I heard my dog yelping frantically behind me. Startled, I turned around quickly, and my dog looking a little like a little white speck far back into the trees. He was pacing back and forth at his spot and barking like it would kill him if I didn't take off running. Well, he kept lunging forward but wouldn't move any distance forward, and I finally realized that something was very wrong. I turned around again to look back at the clearing, and it was pitch black outside. I kid you not, seconds ago the sun wasn't even close to going down below the horizon, and now the stars were out. No sun, no light. I stared hard at the trees around the corner, seeing nothing but elongated shadows, and I heard a twig snap. All of a sudden, my ears started to ring, and panic flooded my entire body. I whipped around and shot back towards the fallen trees, sprinting towards my dog. And he was snarling and barking like mad, and when I ducked under the trees, both of us sprinted back towards the house. The entire time, I felt like I had death on my heels, and Fatty never once ran ahead of me, staying right at my side the entire way back. When I made it home, I checked the clock. During a walk that usually took 10 minutes, I had been gone 3 hours. I'd left my house at 7:30 and arrived home at 10:30. My parents were due home in an hour. The next day I walked only partway back to where I could see the clearing. The very farthest I could have walked was about 2 miles, and it took 3 hours. I don't know what wanted me in the woods that day. I didn't see what it was, and it said nothing to me, but I ignored every natural instinct I had to run until it was almost too late. My dog being there may have been the reason I didn't wander deep into the woods of Missouri and succumb to something or someone in the dark. What was after him out in those woods, drawing him in for unknown reasons? Was he perhaps in danger of becoming another person who vanished without a trace? Scary stuff, folks. And this is just a small part of the article that we're going to cover, but we got to take a quick break. So don't go away, folks. We'll be right back with more of The Almost Missing. Hey guys, Brent Thomas here of the Paranormal Portal Podcast. We just wanted to take a moment to introduce you to the Paranormal Portal store. We've got t-shirts, hoodies, leggings, stickers, mugs, you name it, you might find it over there. So head on over to teespring.com/stores/paranormal-portal, and you too can help fund the Paranormal Portal Podcast. Thank you so much for all that you do, and thank you for being a part of our Paranormal Portal family. Another story that's brought up in this article from another witness called Ugla the Mock comes an experience that allegedly happened on a camping trip with a youth group in the state of New Hampshire. At the end of the two-day trip, he took a hike by himself down the hill to an area with a makeshift archery range in order to tear it down. He made a pile of garbage and equipment to bring back to camp and was about to head back when he says that all sounds in the forest just suddenly ceased, as if a curtain of silence had just fallen down around him. He then says that he could sense a sort of humming sensation, and that is when things would unfold into a terrifying experience. The witness says, "For some inexplicable reason, I snapped my head to the right to view the tree line and noticed there was an area with thinner brush, like an opening, and I started walking towards it like I was being drawn. As I cleared the tree line and stepped into the woods proper, I could feel the pull to go deeper into the woods becoming much stronger. Looking ahead, the woods were deep in shadow with a strange group of four trees about 75 feet away lit by a shaft of light beaming at an angle from above. The light wasn't the normal afternoon yellow sunlight, but a very strange golden color. The light hit the trees in a way that the bases of the trees were glowing in a beckoning way, with the rest of the woods in shadow, and the trees lit up. It created a weird tunnel vision. The compulsion to go investigate the four trees was now almost overwhelming. The thought of, come see, come quickly, come right now, was insistent. My head was pounding like a headache without the pain. As I was about to take another step forward, another separate feeling from the depths of my being started screaming at me to stop immediately. I instantly, viscerally knew that, despite how enticing this call was, if I proceeded forward towards the trees, I would be lost to the world. That specific impression, lost to the world, scared me deeply. The feeling of this is not right and danger were palpable to me. This somehow overrode the compulsion, and I quickly looked backwards to the opening, and I could see the bows sitting on the ground, and I think seeing a bit of reality helped me break the hold of the call. And I suddenly felt a hollow pit in my stomach and started tracing a path slowly backwards towards the opening. I kept my eyes on those trees like I was facing down a predator. I didn't want to turn my back on them. I couldn't turn my back on them. Making it back, stepping through the opening to the archery range, my head almost instantly cleared. I could again hear noises from the camp and feel the wind, and I looked at where I had just stepped from, and now it felt normal. I immediately grabbed the first load of equipment and headed back to camp. For some reason, I didn't tell anyone at camp what I just experienced. On my subsequent trip to get the last load of equipment, absolutely everything was normal, but I stayed the hell away from that opening. What stands out to me is the lost to the world impression. It was so clear and ominous and final. I can't express how truly drawn I was to go deeper into those woods. The feeling to just give myself over to it, whatever it was. I do know that something not good would have happened if I hadn't heeded that warning. I know that my experience was very real and very scary. I'm also convinced that I wouldn't have come out if I had kept going that day. Wow, that's just terrifying. I've experienced, ladies and gentlemen, I've experienced when the woods go quiet, and it's a horrendously sobering thought. Now, I'm not trying to imply that what I experienced was paranormal in any way. And the story is one that I've shared. At least I know I've shared it on the YouTube show several times, but I'll share it here just for the sake of doing it. But it was a situation where friends of mine had a house up in the hills. And it's actually the same house where I saw the flying saucer that I witnessed when I had my first UFO experience. And they since have lived in the house and whatever. And as it goes that night, my friend's wife and the small child were alone up at the house in the mountains. And the husband was off traveling, doing, you know, one of his business trips or whatever. And she called me and she said, "I don't know what's going on, but the dog won't stop barking." Now, they had a German Shepherd dog, and it was a good guard dog, just a really family-oriented dog, and not overly hyper. But on this night, the dog would not settle down. It would not settle down, and I could hear it barking in the background, and it was outside. And she said, "It won't stop barking. He won't stop barking, and something's wrong. Can you come up?" And I'm like, "Sure." So I jumped in my car and drove the 20-some minutes out to the house there and got there. And I got the dog and got him to quit barking. Once he stopped barking, I experienced that quiet that is so often referenced in stories, that even the insects seem to be holding their breath. It's just the craziest thing. Even things like crickets aren't chirping. And it's the strangest thing, because when you think about it, what does a cricket know? I mean, it's this little bug. Why does it stop chirping along with everything else? It just goes quiet. And it's like this shared experience that all of these creatures and parts of the forest share in these moments where there's some kind of suspense. Now, it could have just been some predator was around, like a mountain lion or whatever. The woods tend to go silent when there's a predator stalking prey and stuff. But whatever the case was, it was really unnerving. So I grabbed this big, you know, this big, long, heavy-duty stick, and I'm walking with the dog around the house just doing laps and marveling at how quiet it is, but just being, you know, as stoic as I can be, because I don't know what's out there and I don't know what's going on. And then it was funny, because suddenly and very slowly, things started making noise again. It was like whatever that presence was, whatever was making the woods go quiet, had just left. And suddenly, first it was the crickets, then the tree frogs, and then, you know, the normal noises returned. And it was just this really incredibly tense feeling. Now, again, I don't know what was causing that hush to fall over the forest, but when you're in those moments, it's just like, I don't know, it's almost this primeval state where you feel like you're like the gladiator in the ring all of a sudden, and your senses go into hyper alert, and you look around trying to figure out what the hell's going on. But I do understand that silence. I don't know how it works. I don't know what causes it. And I imagine there's many, many different causes for things like that, but it is a really sobering experience. It brings you right fully 100% into the now. Like, your mind doesn't drift. You're just totally hyper aware of every little noise and thing going on around you. You go absolutely into this survival mode. It's pretty intense, but it all worked out fine. And that was the end of the experience. And I, you know, once everything normalized, I came back home, but It was pretty intense. And it was the dead of night, too, when this happened. So it was a pretty intense time. But anyway, that was my experience with the forests going dark. So we'll continue here. And this is next story highlighted in this article is in another case, poster Bellabina 143 describes how she was 11 years old when she had her own such brush with the unexplained. She says that she and her family would go out camping in the woods of New Hampshire in their camping trailer every summer, and it was during one of these excursions that something very odd would happen. She says that one time during one of these camping trips, her uncle woke her up and asked if she remembered what had happened the previous evening, to which she replied that no, she did not. It was then that the aunt, father, and mother would tell her what had transpired, which was creepy, to say the least, and of which the witness says, "My aunt was a bit shaky, and she asked, 'Do you remember what happened last night?' I shook my head, 'No,' and listened as my aunt told me about the extremely strange night, which I do not recall whatsoever. My aunt explained that at about 2 a.m., she awoke to the woke up to the door of the camper being wide open. She quickly checked the bunks and noticed that I was nowhere to be found. She woke up my mom and dad, and then my mom and dad got flashlights and started frantically searching for me outside around the immediate area. My aunt stayed behind because there were still four kids sleeping in the camper. After a scary 10-minute search, my dad spotted me. I had walked out of the camper and into the trees about 30 feet away. It was far enough that I could not be seen unless he walked into the trees a bit. And I was just standing out there in the dark, with my eyes completely open, but not responding to him at all. I had no shoes, no flashlight, and was wearing just shorts and a t-shirt. He said that he grabbed my hand and started walking me back to the camp. He remembers asking me, "What's going on? Why in the world would you go out on your own like that?" And then I finally spoke up, saying, "I need to wait here, Dad. Let's just stay here." My mom remembers that I then started crying as she and Dad led me back to the camper. Whenever I think back to this story, I get a sick, strange feeling. Thank God my aunt woke up when she did. It's important to note that I've never been known to sleepwalk before or after that night. It was an isolated incident which could have had a very different ending had I not been so lucky. My mom was so upset that she decided to get rid of the trailer, and we didn't do much camping after that night. Yeah, you can hardly blame them. Wow. And he says, "Was this something calling her into the woods to be spirited away or something else? Who knows?" Yeah, that's really tough stuff. What's going on in these situations? Now, there is a common theme to these situations, and that is this compulsion. And is that what people are experiencing in the cases where people aren't so fortunate? Do they feel a compulsion? Is there something perhaps extraterrestrial, like the story that we just covered with the trees that were illuminated into the woods further? You know, that sounds like some kind of extraterrestrial presence. Doesn't necessarily have to be. It could be something transdimensional or otherwise. It could just be a hallucination, some form of hallucination that is imposed into the mind of the person. It's hard to say. It's really hard to say. And of course, it's all speculation, but this is kind of a neat opportunity to see what might be going on in these situations where these people do go missing. And it's incredibly, incredibly shocking. Could there be things out there that we're not quite aware of? And maybe we are aware of them. Maybe these are things we do hear about, like the Sasquatch or the Rake or ghouls or whatever you want to call them, or any number of other cryptids that are believed to be out there. Is this one of their forms of predation? Do they impose a will over people? Is there a compulsion? Is it a vampiric thing? In the vampiric lore, of course, people feel compelled. In the Black Eyed Kids encounters, people feel this compulsion to help, even though they have this hardcore primal fear welling up inside of them. You know, they feel like they want to help, or they should help, or, you know, they feel this other will being impressed upon them. So is it something to that measure, something supernatural or Freudian? And it could be. It's just hard to know, but man, this is really shocking stuff. Okay, everybody, I think it's time we got to take a break. So don't go away, and we'll be right back with more of the Paranormal Portal podcast in just a couple minutes. Everybody, and we're back at it here on the Paranormal Portal podcast. Buckle up, we're going in. All right, folks, welcome back, and we'll get to the last part of this discussion today with the almost missing. And it's a pretty bizarre topic, and it's pretty scary to think that people are feeling these compulsions to go into forests or acting out of their own will. And I find that absolutely absolutely frightening, to be honest with you. That's pretty scary stuff. But let's see where we go with the rest of this article. It continues on. Similarly, we have the tale of a poster called Super Peyton M022, who says he lives in a house nestled right up against a large expanse of woods in the U.S. state of Kentucky, and describes himself as an avid hiker and outdoorsman. When he had a strange experience, he was around 15 years old. He was out exploring with his two dogs, Max and Bo. He says of this surreal experience, "I was hiking a trail that runs up behind my aunt's house, one that I'd hiked day in and day out, just out and about enjoying the woods. I remember looking up the mountain, which I'd never hiked to the top to before, and feeling this strange call. It wasn't really a voice, but it was an urge I couldn't ignore. Keep in mind that I'm a very timid person, and hiking unfamiliar trails on my own freaks me out to this day. But that day, all my fear had dissipated. All thought left my head, and I just climbed higher and higher. My dogs followed me, and I don't even know how to describe the feeling that came over me, but I remember just staring down at my feet and feeling at peace as I climbed. There was a moment when I paused to look out at the houses below. I'd never been that high up, remember, and I felt amazed. I took a picture on my phone, and then I looked around for my dogs. Bo had already run off, and Max was following. I called out to them frantically to stop, but they didn't listen. They disappeared. At this point, looking down the mountainside, I was very afraid. Then I looked back uphill, and it came over me again. I kept hiking, and I kept telling myself I'd just go a little bit further, see just a little bit more. I remember looking down at my feet, just like before, and listening to the silence of the woods around me, and just feeling at peace. It felt so easy to just keep going deeper, and so difficult to turn around, but Bo felt the call too, because even after I did break out of it and turn around, only after stumbling on a root and then called back to her, she wouldn't stop. I had to catch up with her and physically turn her around and pet her before she'd come with me. I couldn't stop. Eventually, I heard my walkie-talkie crackle. Everything was distorted, and I couldn't make any of the words out. And I assume now that I was just out of range for it to pick up, but back then it freaked me out. Whatever had come over me lost its hold on my mind. My dogs were still gone. Panicked, I began running downhill. It's a wonder I didn't get hurt. As I neared the wide section of the spring near the bottom, my walkie-talkie picked back up, and I heard my dogs running downhill behind me. I got home and mostly forgot about it. I just told myself I had almost been lost and to be more careful. I didn't know what's out there, but I know this. The woods call to us all. In some cases, the lure that draws these people in is something other than a voice or feeling, but some sort of entity, and this can be seen in a bizarre report from poster Supreme Symbiote, whose story revolves around her mother, who grew up in an extremely rural area near Umbuqua in Paraguay. I'm sure I'm brutalizing that word. It's Y-R-Y-B-U-C-U-A, and it's in the country of Paraguay. One day, the mother was out playing as a child along with her grandmother when it seems that she was pulled into a nearby forest by powers beyond our understanding. The poster says of what happened, "The area where my mom grew up is especially rural in this countryside, where most of the poor people were. Her house was across from very thick woods that stretched for miles. One afternoon before it got dark, my grandma and my mom were outside. My mom was about 7 years old at the time when she spotted what she described as a beautiful little white baby chick. Well, she's always loved animals and enjoyed catching them, so she wanted to catch it. It kept running away from her, even though it seemed like she was just about to catch it multiple times. After what seemed like she was running in a circle for minutes, my grandmother came out of nowhere and yanked my mom's hair. My mom said at that moment, she was broken from a trance, and that the sun had already set, and she was actually very deep in the woods. My grandmother smacked her really hard on the head and told her that El Pombero almost succeeded in taking her. My mom tried to explain to my grandmother about the pretty little chick, but of course it was nowhere to be found. My grandma said my mom seemed to be playing normally, and then all of a sudden just started fast walking towards the woods. My grandma thankfully ran after her and was able to catch up to her. And I always think about what would have happened had my grandma not been there to stop it. I'm so glad that she was. Yeah, no kidding. Spooky to say the least, and gives the feeling that this might have been some sort of forest spirit drawing the girl in for inscrutable purposes. Curiously, we have another account from Nicaragua that also seems to involve some sort of impish forest entities. Poster Monkey 85 claims that when she was just 6 years old, she was staying with her grandmother on a huge plantation surrounded by thick rainforest. On one bright, clear day, she was out along a trail with her parents walking from their jeep back to the plantation, and she says of what happened next, "I remember playing with one of my favorite toys. It was the Green Ranger that you could push a button and his head would switch from his normal head to his helmet. Anyways, I was playing with it as we walked along the trail and then arrived to a small stream. My parents are easily able to jump over it and keep walking. And they look behind them and I can see them watch me try to make the jump, smiling at me. I do make the jump, but drop my toy in the process, and it gets picked up by the stream, so I immediately start following after it. I can hear my parents yelling for me, but I'm too focused on catching my toy. This next bit I still remember vividly to this day. All of a sudden, I'm in like a field with tall grass. It's surrounded by trees, and the one thing I notice is that it's eerily quiet. I have to reiterate that this is a Central American forest. It is never quiet. There are always hundreds of birds, monkeys, and other small animals everywhere. At the time, I didn't think anything of it. And then I hear something weird, like chirping. And I see small, tiny orbs in the tall grass. And I'm not afraid of them, more like intrigued. They're amongst the grass, like the way you would see an animal's eyes, but they're weightless and floating. I start walking towards them, but then I get scared and run away towards the forest, and I remember getting sleepy as I fell against a tree trunk. And according to the witness, she then actually went missing for a full 2 days as her family frantically searched for her. It was as though she had been kidnapped, since her father was rather rich, but there was never a ransom given. A massive search was launched for her, involving the police, military, and about 1,000 people total combing the jungle. Dogs, helicopters, the works. But no trace of her was found. Although she doesn't remember anything of what happened during those 2 days, she does recall how she suddenly woke to find herself on a bus by herself. And she explains, "I was missing for 2 days. And the next thing I remember is waking up in the back of a bus. The bus driver waking me up and asking if I was okay. I remember I immediately started crying and asking for my mom, and my mom had me memorize our home number, so they call and I get picked up. Police investigating, thinking it may have been a kidnapping attempt, and they think once they found out who was kidnapped, they put me on the bus. I tell them my story, and a few of them think duendes took me. Duendes is something a lot of the people in Nicaragua believe in, especially people out in the fields. It's less believed in the major cities. They're basically described like small people who kidnap children, kill livestock, and ruin crops. Basically mischievous little things. A telltale sign of them being presence is seeing small floating lights in trees or amongst tall grass. People say it's their lanterns and that they carry. What are we looking at with these cases such as this? And are there many more like them? And what relation do they have to the whole missing persons phenomena? The wilderness can be a perilous place, and it is understandable that some people might go missing, but when looking at reports such as these, one gets the feeling that there could be other factors at work, other than the treacherous terrain, animals, and getting lost, and the elements. Is there something perhaps drawing people into these dim wildernesses to step off the face of the earth? In a way, taking them off to places unknown. And if so, what are they, and why do they do this? For the time being, it seems to be a mystery that only the unseen forces storming through the trees know the answer to. And in the case of mysterious vanishings in the wilderness, we're left to wonder if there is perhaps more to it than we can even imagine. What a brilliant article. Wow. That's incredibly well done. And including some reports from Central and South America. So that's very awesome. I just really applaud his work. And there's no answers, obviously, ladies and gentlemen, but it's just another angle on the phenomena that maybe you hadn't heard of. Nobody is able to interview David Politis's witnesses. The very few who do make it back are oftentimes, you know, unable to communicate. They may be mentally unable or too young or whatever in the very few cases of people that do turn up again, but most often they're just gone. And that's kind of the end of it. And when bodies are found again, they're found in the weirdest of circumstances, which begs a whole host of understanding that we don't have. So it's just a very, very peculiar and weird thing. But then again, it's a very, very peculiar and weird world. You know, we are conditioned to think it's three dimensions and Mondays through Fridays with weekends thrown in and, you know, pay your bills, keep your food on your table, and take care of your stuff, and you'll be fine. But there's more. There's more going on here, and that's what this show is all about, is the more. Let's explore the more. And I have to tell you, I'm incredibly compelled by these stories, and, you know, hesitantly so, of course, because it does make you feel a big swell of vulnerability that something might just impress itself on our minds and cause us to behave ways that we wouldn't otherwise normally do. And what then? And God only knows, but thank God these people made it and made it through their ordeals and maybe brought a little bit back to the table for the rest of us to ponder. So I hope you enjoyed it. And special thanks again go out to Brent Swanser and mysteriousuniverse.org. Both, you know, if you're not familiar with mysteriousuniverse.org, get familiar with it. It's an amazing site. Thousands and thousands of articles on the paranormal and the Freudian topics, cryptids, and some strange phenomena. It's just phenomenal. And some amazing talent, including Brent Swanser, of course. And again, to catch up with Brent Swanser, find his group on Facebook. And that, again, is Dark League Paranormal. But just an epic run. All right, folks, that's going to wrap it up for this episode. I hope you've enjoyed it. Thank you so much for tuning in and being a part of our journey. Thank you to all of you who have been finding us on our YouTube channel as well at youtube.com/paranormalportal. It's, you know, it's a different show entirely. It's not the same thing over on YouTube, but hopefully they're both good shows in their own reasons, and they both have their own merits. It's not a continuation of one or the other. It's two very different entities, but we do talk about the paranormal on all of them. It's just the YouTube show tends to be a little more comical. So if you like a good laugh and some weird discussions, then definitely head over there and take a look. Check it out. But that's going to wrap it up for us here, folks. Again, please feel free to follow us on YouTube, youtube.com/paranormalportal. Follow us on Facebook, facebook.com/paranormalportalradio. Follow us, the fans group on Facebook at facebook.com/paranormalportalfans, or search for Paranormal Portal Fans. You'll find it. And other than that, we're on Instagram and we're on, what is it? Oh, Twitter and Parler as well. So hopefully you'll catch up with us and become more a part of what we're doing. But thank you all for your support, your kindness, your love, your encouragement. And thank you to all of you out there who continue to recommend the Paranormal Portal to new listeners. And I appreciate your efforts on our behalf. And the show has been absolutely driven by listener support. So thank you guys for that. All right, guys, it's going to wrap it up for me. I hope you guys are doing well. Until next time, take care. Again, watch out for the From the Vault episodes, which will be coming up in the next few days. I'm going to start releasing one of those. Those are nostalgic look back at the Paranormal Portal, kind of back from where we started. And long before there was a podcast, long before there was a YouTube channel, it was me and a microphone sitting on internet radio trying to figure it out. And in production-wise, they're okay. They're okay shows. But they're going to be offered up as supplemental bonus episodes, so you can kind of take a ride back in time with me to where it all started. Hopefully the information is good on those old shows, too. I think it is. But again, I've come a long way. And take them for what they are, but I hope you find them entertaining as well. So watch for those coming up this week. We'll release the first one. It has to do with vampires, and that should be fun. So anyway, guys, that's all I got for you tonight. Love you all. Be good, be kind, be nice. Take care of each other. Help each other out. Find the magic in every day, and remember to laugh as much as you can. Good night, everybody.